Well, if I've learned anything from being a game developer, it's that not giving someone a reward is punishing them. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 213 of Coffee with Butterscotch, the game dev comedy podcast of Butterscotch Shenanigans. I'm Seth, and I'm the games programmer.
I'm Adam, and I'm the webs programmer.
I'm Sam, and I'm the art.
And this is a...
This is the art.
This is a show where we talk about life, business, and working in the games industry, except...
Not today,
because today is the Shenana Jam kickoff mini-sode.
Yeah. No, that still is sort of all three of those things.
Yeah.
So I think still today.
We'll talk about all those things. Because today is July 12th, 2019, the very start of the third annual Butterscotch Shenana Jam. Normally, we would have a profanity warning here, but we're going to try real hard
to keep this thing light
in case there's some chids listening.
And by chids, you mean adults.
Adults, yes. Who want to jam and not be upset. Okay, so let's talk about the Shenana Jam. So this episode is going to be a short one. We're going to talk a little bit about jamming. What's it all about? How's it do? Why you do? Then we're going to drop some quick hot tips for jammins. And then we'll announce the theme, talk about the achievements, and then I think we'll do something weird at the end.
Yep. There's a good chance that will happen throughout.
Yeah. All right. So jamming. What is jamming? How do you do it? Why do you do it? For those who are listening to this and are like, what the heck is going on? Why is this random episode appearing? What is the Shenana Jam?
Also, why are all these game devs who are highly technical talking about jam?
Yeah.
Yeah. So a jam is a 48-hour event generally. But it can be any duration of time, but generally the 48-hour event where you get a theme at the beginning of the event and you have to build a video game using that theme by the end of the event. And generally, a jam also means that you can't use sort of a bunch of, you know, pre-work or external assets to build the thing. It should be made not necessarily from scratch, but roughly scratch-like during the duration.
It needs to be a new product.
That's the easiest way to think about it.
Yeah.
So generally what this means is that you'll find a team. Sometimes a bunch of randos, sometimes, you know, your brothers in our case. And then, you know, you get a theme, you do some brainstorming, and then you make a video game over about 2-3 days. And in our case, this is actually how our studio got started, which was we were doing some game jams and realized, oh, I guess we could actually build games.
This is pretty fun. I mean, if we can make games, it must be super easy to just make a career out of it.
Turns out it's slightly more difficult.
Well, there's more to it than that, but.
It's a great first step.
Yeah.
And also it's a really good way to learn new tech, to sort of explore some aspect if you're an artist of a particular art style, or just learn how to draw leaves, for example, over a 2-day window. All sorts of things you can do.
Or just to learn about yourself.
You always learn about yourself in a jam.
Yeah. You might not know how to do any art. You might not know how to do any programming. Mm-hmm. You might just not know anything, period.
But when the jam is done, you'll be 30 hours or more further in to whatever that skill is. And you'll feel great. You'll have accomplished something huge that you didn't even know you were capable of. It's just very invigorating.
It is. Yeah, and the less you know, the more progress you make in 30 hours, relatively speaking.
Yeah. So really, if you're completely inexperienced, you have more reason to do the jam than anybody else.
That's true.
So get in there and do it. Also, if you're participating in the Shenana Jam, hop into the Discord. The Butterscotch Discord, which is at discord.gg/bscotch. We have a special Shenana Jam channel in there. But I think most importantly, it allows you to connect with other people who are doing it. And it makes – I mean, especially if you're jamming solo or if you're jamming remotely or whatever, you know, being on your own in front of a computer screen for – a whole weekend.
Not the best.
Not ideal.
Nope.
So this kind of allows you to feel more connected and feel like, you know, really get your finger on the pulse of the happenings. Mm-hmm. So definitely do that.
And this is an online jam, so that's really the only way you can hang out with people who are not your teammates anyway. With some exception, and maybe you'll talk about the local stuff going on.
Yeah.
Is it on your list?
Yeah. So we got all that stuff. And then we'd also like to thank Yo-Yo Games because they're providing free keys.
Freakies.
They dropped some freakies on us. And so anybody who's interested in learning how to use GameMaker Studio 2, you will be able to have temporary access to the full version of the software for some amount of time, at least during the jam and then sometime afterwards. Mm-hmm. And that's the software that we use to make our games. That's also the software that we learned how to make games in to begin with back in 2010 at our first jams. So it's great. It's a great program for just like rapid prototyping, and it's very easy to learn. So if you're new to everything, then just use that. It's going to be great. All right. Quick hot tips for jamming. What kinds of things should people be thinking about?
Keep your team size small.
Yep.
That's rule number one. And there's a really interesting point about this, which is that communication channels explode exponentially as you add more people. So if there's just one of us, obviously, you know,
you don't need to talk to anybody.
And actually,
you got zero communication channels. Mm-hmm.
And if there's one more person, it's actually almost the same.
Just one.
But as soon as you get more, now you actually have this multiplicative effect where you start having, you go from one to three when you have three people.
No, when you have three, now you have six channels of communication.
I don't know.
Each person can talk to either of the other ones, and then you kind of like loop.
Right.
Kind of like loop that. Okay. Because it grows combinatorial.
That's what it is, yeah. So as you get
which I think is worse than exponential, right?
It is
horrible.
It is horrible.
I think the end result then is if you have a team of five, there's 63 billion communication
channels.
Yeah,
it's very much like that, yes.
So don't go too big. We actually had somebody joking the Discord all back about like, what would happen if you got like 100 indie developers to try to make a game over
nothing,
a jam.
I was like, nothing
literally
would
nothing would happen.
There would be a lot of tweeting.
There'd be lots of tweets coming out about what was not happening.
So keep your team small. We generally recommend four and under is sort of a good size. You can do five if a few people have really already know each other and already have like a slick channel between the two of them. But don't you dare cross the five threshold.
But this is coupled with the other thing, which is to keep your team small and keep your ideas small.
Yes.
This is not a space for big ideas. No. You know, so the smaller your ideas and the more people you have, then the less sense that makes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And the bigger your ideas, the less you are going to accomplish.
Yes.
So you want to keep everything small.
Yeah. And you can build. So you start with a small idea, something simple, some kind of action game, something that's kind of familiar. Maybe it's like you fly a spaceship shooting space zombies. I don't know. Something, you know, that's pretty easy to execute and pretty easy to understand and that you can have up and running really quickly. Once you have that, now you have a game. Like you've got it now.
Yep.
And now everything you do from then on is just awesome extra stuff.
Yep.
So you can start layering in like new mechanics and new concepts and new art and all that stuff.
So you generally
always have a game now.
Yeah, so we generally aim within the first 8 hours to have a playable prototype that is basically the game. And then everything after that, it just sort of adds zaniness to it and layers to it. As far as genres to lean toward or to avoid – generally, you're going to want to pick ones that, like I said, are a little bit more action-oriented. They tend to be just faster to get to the point where it's actually a game. If you've jammed a bunch, then you can start reaching out from those sort of more action-oriented genres into, you know, more tactical, even more strategy-oriented genres. But things like simulation, things like strategy, any of those are really hard to pull off in such a short time window because they require a bunch of different systems before the whole thing works. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, yes. Ideally, it should be done enough as a game as early as possible.
Yes.
And the only way to do that is with a game concept that is very straightforward and easy to make fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there are a few genres of game that you should, if you're new to jamming, that you should avoid. So simulation games, they require every single piece to be working well before any of it works, which means it won't really be playable at all until the last minute, which is pretty bad. MMOs, try to avoid that. We're going to make one probably, but we've been doing this for a decade now. So so there's that. Anything that requires like a huge volume of content, like a crafting game or a collectible card game, those kinds of things are going to be really hard to nail because they just take so much work before they're fun. So sticking with more action-oriented things, if you're new to jamming, would be the way to go.
And roguelikes in particular are one of the best things, any roguelike components you put into your game, which involve permadeath and sort of, you know, the resetting of progress, that sort of thing, can really extend gameplay a ton. Where you can make a game in 2 days that actually people will play for a couple of hours, which is super fun.
And if you use this method of sort of like starting with a smaller idea and then building it up, then that also gives you time to implement loops, which is the idea of after each play session, the player has something they can do to give them a reason to come back. So maybe like you defeat a bunch of enemies, and then even though you died, you know, you've now leveled up and gained some new ability or something for the next run. So you can actually add a lot of replay value to your game with that. And the last piece of advice we have for jamming is try not to have anybody on your team who is a, quote, designer, which design role is really important for large teams, large projects, you know, big games. But when you're trying to go as fast as possible and keep things really small, a designer will just keep saturating your team with ideas.
Well, but it's also important because I think designer is the key role in this sort of ecosystem that truly requires expertise and experience for it to actually be
useful.
Not only useful, but like an essential, like important thing. Because if you're just a person who comes up with good game ideas, that's not what being a designer is about. A designer is actually more of a producer role, where it's like figuring out what can we accomplish with our limited resources and and so on. And without that, if you're only coming up with ideas, then in the context of a jam,
you're just dumping work on people.
It's not going to work.
So that it is the case, though, that if your team has the ability to make tools for someone who is a designer, so in other words, mm-hmm. if you can build something that allows someone to build levels, then you can. But it's fine to have someone who's doing more pure design on your team, but they end up getting funneled not in a high level design role, but in the weeds, build levels, throwing weapons together, that sort of thing. So there's some really important differentiations there. And so just remember that designers tend to make work for everybody else on the team. So
that's actually their job.
That's literally what their job is. And so you got to make sure that you corral them appropriately.
Yeah. So those are our quick hot tips for jamming. Now let's talk about the themes. So these themes come from titles of our podcast episodes from the past year, which we had 50-something of them. And so we picked the three that we thought would make the best themes. And you can choose to use any one of these, or you can use any combination of them and try to mix them together.
Any subset. You just have to use at least one.
Yeah. All right. So the first theme, Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next theme, DNA Chaos. Final theme, Wrenches 101.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's a lot to work with there. You can hit these from a lot of different angles. So like Christmas Eve, there's holidays, there's curses, there's magic.
There's spooky
spirits, right? Mm-hmm. DNA chaos, I don't know. There's biology.
Genetics.
There's like genetics.
Viruses. Mutations.
And then, of course, Wrenches 101 is tools, it's building, but it's also a class. There's school involved somehow.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know what any of this means. That's for everybody else to figure out. So when it comes to these themes, you're going to basically start with that theme and then just start coming up with game ideas that incorporate it. And it doesn't have to be extremely rigid. Like if you are pretty loose with it, that's still okay.
It just needs to be recognizable.
Yeah, as long as it's recognizably inspired by the
so
theme
that
in some way.
If we look at it and we're like, we're not even sure which one this is, then that's kind of a problem. But if you then tell us which one it is and we're like, oh,
yep,
then that's fine.
Yeah,
you know?
All right.
I think there's a good point here too, which is if you're having trouble on that idea generation phase after seeing the themes, one of the really good things you can do is talk amongst your team about what everyone is trying to get out of the jam. And use that as a secondary set of constraints. Because, for example, if your artist is like, look, I usually do 3D art. I really want to try pixel art this time, but I'm new to the tool. That means you're probably not going to have a ton of art coming out. So you need to consider that when you're building for the game. And if your programmer is like, oh, I've been poking around with procedural generation. Like, I really want to try something like that. Then you start kind of piecing together a better idea of what everyone wants to get out of the jam. And that can help kind of narrow the focus for you.
Yep. Yes. All right. Let's talk about achievements.
Yes.
So, and once we go through all these, then we'll do a quick session where we kind of come up with a game idea quickly to kind of show you what a brainstorming session might look like. And then we'll talk a little bit more about the schedule, and then we'll call it a day so you can get on to making games. All right. So these achievements are essentially modifiers that you can attach to your game that you'll just get, magic internet points for.
Mm-hmm.
So we just came up with a bunch of stuff that we thought would be really weird, difficult, or interesting to kind of mix into your game idea to see what people can come up with. First achievement, Iron Triangle. This achievement is if your game primarily uses triangles for its art. So if you don't have an artist, might be a good one to,
yep.
to go for.
Yep.
Next achievement, Innovation. Your game is a battle royale.
Yeah. So innovative.
This is a whole new concept in gaming, and nobody is doing it.
Nope.
Yep. So just see if you can do it.
Create the bandwagon.
Yeah. Next achievement, 'Tis the Season. Your game has a season pass, makes fun of season passes, or just has seasons.
Okay.
Yep. So apparently every game now has to have a season pass. So why shouldn't your game have one? Next achievement, Game Boy. Your game only uses 8-bit sound effects and is the classic Game Boy 4-color green palette.
We had a few of these last year. They were pretty rad.
They're very fun.
Yeah, they really get that – scratch that nostalgia.
They do, yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be pixel art, which is kind of an interesting one.
Though everybody does do pixel art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next achievement, Level Head, which is inspired by our own game that we have in early access right now, which is that your game lets players build their own levels, maps, etc.
Something.
So there's something in your game that you can let people build their own stuff. Next achievement, Sweet 16, which is using the standard 16-bit color palette that was there back in ye olden times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you want to see an example of this, our game I Know CPR, which is up on Itch, uses the 16-bit color palette.
Yeah, it was pretty fun, actually.
It was super fun. I learned a bunch of stuff, too, about it, about how to use colors because of only using 16 of them, which is weird, but that's how it works.
Sometimes less is more. Yeah.
Constraints are important.
Next achievement, Split Brain. This is where you've made a multiplayer game where everyone controls the same character. What does this mean? I don't know.
Whatever you want it to
you. Legs and arms? Is it democratic? Or are you, somebody shooting and somebody running? I don't know.
Are you a boat and one person is the sails? You know, I don't know.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know. Next achievement, healthy living. Sleep for 8 hours per night, get an hour of exercise, and only eat healthy food for the duration of the day.
That's not, you know, it's a good achievement.
It's a good achievement. I hope everybody gets this one.
I mean, I'm not going to.
The hour of exercise I'm gonna is, eat chocolate. Is the tough
one. Because I guess another tough one is the only eating healthy food over a jam, because then you want to get chocolate, you want to get your Cheez-Its, you know.
It's kind of a party.
Instead, you're just dunking carrots and hummus, and you're just like, oh.
Maybe we should have broken this apart into three achievements. One for exercising. It's too late for sleeping.
We can't go back.
You got to commit. This is like an Iron Man.
And also, your whole team has to do it. So this is going to be this is probably the hardest achievement, really.
That's true.
We start a movement.
Yeah. It's like running a marathon. Just eating regular good food. All right. Next achievement, Buttersmooth Tools. Make games the B-Scotch way. Inkscape for art, Game Maker for game programming. And that's it. Mm-hmm. So we don't really have any specific sound tools because we, you know, contract that out. So I guess you have to contract out your sound tool. All right. Mozart, compose your own music. So if you don't have a sound contract, you get this achievement.
Wait, does it count if you use BFXR to compose your own music?
You mean sound
effects? Sound effects and stuff?
Yeah. Like,
that counts.
That counts.
Yeah. I guess it's not music, though.
That's just music. That's just boops and
boops
beeps.
Boops and beeps.
Yeah.
But if you use the boops and beeps to make music, then that's also fine.
That's good. That's challenging, but.
I don't know if it's Mozart quality. It will be something.
Could be. Next achievement, totally ethical surprise mechanics. The primary means of progressing through your game is loot boxes.
Yep.
So
they don't have to involve real money, you know.
Ideally, they should not,
because, you know.
They 100% should not involve real money.
Yeah, but the great thing about them is that they're surprisingly ethical.
Yeah.
Yep. So next achievement is the ultimate idol. The game plays itself on boot up, and if the player does nothing, the game will just keep playing itself. Yeah. So idle games,
all the rage,
hot new thing in a mobile game. Well, it's not new, but it's definitely picking up steam. So we thought, why not just take this to its logical extreme? And you don't even need to play the game at all.
It's almost like a screensaver at that point.
It is a screensaver.
Just a really fancy screensaver. Yeah. Now this doesn't mean the player can't play the game. It's just that they don't have to.
Yeah.
Right. Next achievement, persistent universe. Something about your game lives online and every player can affect it. So maybe there's a persistent world. Maybe you're going to make that weird cube thing that made.
A certain pool of lives that everyone pulls from, and then the game turns off, which was, I think, Rami Asmani
from a while back.
Extinction game, I think.
Yep. One Punch Man. Your game is controllable with a single input. So maybe you just like press the space bar. Maybe you do punch something. I don't know. But only one input. Seal approved. Some aspect of your game is controlled by the sound of claps and or screams. You can mix this with One
I'm
Punch Man.
I'm still waiting for this one. I really want.
Nobody did it last year.
Yeah, you can mix this with One Punch Man and, you know, maybe just only you only clap. And that's just how you do it.
Yeah.
You know? Next achievement, franchise. This is for people who did the Shenanigans Jam last year. Make a sequel or shared universe game to your previous Shenanigans Jam entry. It must still incorporate this year's theme and also be a whole new game. So it's not like you're just going to make, you know, slap a two on the end of last year's game.
Nope. Yeah, still make a new thing.
It's got to be a new thing. It doesn't even have to be the same genre. It's just, it would be a sequel in the same way that our games are sequels, which is absolutely nothing like each other, but they generally feel similar. Yeah. Then we have several achievements for team size. We got the four-wheeler achievement for a team size of four, tripod for a team size of three, tango for two, and maverick for one. We aren't giving out achievements for team sizes of five or greater because we've been over this, you guys.
We should have had a list of unachieves, which would include having more than four.
Uncheeves.
Yeah.
Well, if I've learned anything from being a game developer, it's that not giving someone a reward is punishing them.
It's true.
We'll just do that. So those are all of the achievements for this year, and we'll be sending out an email that has all this information in it, so you don't have to, you know, keep like re-listening to chunks of the podcast.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be on the itch page as well.
Yeah.
How do people get to the page?
Shenanajam.com.
Shenanajam.com.
How do you spell that?
I'm not going to do that, but it'll be in the title of this podcast.
It's like shenanigans, which even if you don't know how to spell it, you know how to Google it to find out how to spell it. So it's shenanigans, ends with jams.
I think if you just do your best.
You'll get there. Shenanigans. Just Google shenanajam, and however you type it, I'm sure Google
unless
will
you spell it with a C-H, in which case,
what if you spell it S-C-H-E-N-A-N-N-Y? D-J-A-M.
That'll probably get you there. I think Google would figure that one out.
Yeah. It might actually.
We'll try it.
Like, I see
we'll try and report back.
Shenanigans jam.
All right. So the last thing we want to do before we close out the episode is a quick brainstorming session. If we were to grab one of these themes and make a game right now, how would we come up with an idea? And what would that look like? Now, bear in mind that we always say, like, you should spend as little time as possible planning your game, because the more time you plan,
the bigger the idea gets. So we'll cap around an hour.
An hour of planning?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're going to do it in just a few minutes.
Yep.
So, all right. So, our themes are Christmas Eve, DNA Chaos, and Wrenches 101.
Let's do Wrenches 101. You seem very enthused about that.
Wrenches 101. Okay.
Okay, we also need to know, what is it we're trying to get out of this jam, you know?
Yeah.
So, we know we want to make an MMO.
Right.
Because we want to increase our skill set with relation to networked programming. Mm-hmm. So, yes. How do we make an MMO?
We should do this for the masses. Something closer to what everybody else will be experiencing.
That's probably good, yeah.
For our own brainstorming session, of course, we'll do an MMO.
It probably doesn't matter, but we will do it. Yeah. We will do it because
we want to keep this simple, right? Keep it an action game. Keep it constrained. Keep it small.
So I'm reminded of Dodgeball, where the guy says, "If you
throw
dodge,
the wrench,
yeah,
yes,
you throw wrenches and you dodge wrenches." I don't know, you guys.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so is Wrenches 101? Is it a class? Like, is this a class in school?
I think it has to be a class in school.
And where you're learning how to throw wrenches? Is this the
– maybe you're learning all the ways that you can use a wrench.
Okay.
But mainly
so like, throwing.
Mainly throwing.
Now, so you can have various kinds of wrenches. So some you can eat to increase your health.
Ooh, yeah.
I assume. Mm-hmm. Some you can throw. Some that are melee weapons. Just a wrench-based – it's sort of like Enter the Gungeon, except it's all wrenches.
I like this.
Now, the great thing about wrenches is, of course, you can build things with
them. Yeah.
Right? So maybe it's a – we could do the Battle Royale, I guess, if we – Battle Royale. Okay. So there's wrenches drop in from the sky, or they pop out of sort of like wrench dispensers. Mm-hmm. But you don't know what kind of wrench.
You mean wrench loot boxes.
Wrench loot boxes. So you're going to get wrenches, and you can build stuff using these wrenches, or you can throw them at people. Mm.
So do the wrenches get consumed when you build something as well as when you throw? So it's like a, you know.
No.
Okay.
I think the wrenches are persistent.
Persistent wrenches.
Because you can only have one wrench at a time, and when you throw
you have to trade your wrenches, and like
when you throw it at somebody, you got no wrench now. So now you got to go find another.
So if someone throws the wrench at you and misses, then you pick it up.
You can pick it up and throw it back at them. Right?
I assume you could also have a boomerang wrench that comes back to you.
Boomerang wrench. Yeah, and there's chocolate wrenches that show up, and you can just eat those, and that's fine. But you can also throw it at somebody, and if you hit them with it, it hurts, and that's.
And I assume you need golden wrenches to get into the golden toolboxes to get random new wrenches.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So essentially we've got this sort of wrench-based system where you need to hit people with wrenches, but you also need to build things like defenses and turrets and stuff out of wrenches to protect yourself. And then you also need to eat chocolate wrenches to
return your HP.
Right.
So is this – and as far as how it works, is this – you said Battle Royale.
Oh,
so
no, because it's 101. The 101 isn't because of it's an education. It's because that's how many –
There's 101 players in it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's because it's better than all the other Battle Royale.
Exactly. There you go.
Wrenches 101. It's a 101-player Battle Royale
with
where
wrenches.
You hit people, eat, and build things out of wrenches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did it.
There you go. There's your basic game concept. This would be pretty hard to execute.
Yes.
But it's just because it's a Battle Royale.
Yeah.
But you can pare it down. You could say, okay, you have 101 lives, or you could set it in the school setting and then have it.
But the idea is when you're implementing this, you start with the smallest version of it. So the smallest version of it is having people who can pick up, having wrenches appear.
Pick
on the
up
ground,
a wrench, you chuck it,
and you can throw it.
And then it falls on the ground.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now, now you've got a game. You did it.
Done.
If you could do that with two people, you can do it with 101. Yep.
That's how it works.
It naturally tracks.
Yep. And then you can keep on adding new kinds of wrenches that do different things. But at each step of the way, you're done.
You got a working game.
Yep.
So there's our wrenches 101 game.
Was it 5 minutes?
I think it was even less than
done.
That. All right, you guys. Let's talk about the schedule. Let's talk about the schedule for the rest of the jam. All right. So first thing, if you're here in St. Louis, there is an event coming up. It's a barbecue.
It's a physical event.
Where you get to take your meat body and put meat in it, I guess. That's going to be
– maybe veggie options. I have no idea. We're not running it. We're just along for the ride.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the Friday of the start of the jam at Tillis Park in Ladue, 5 p.m. Central Time. Friday.
Now, when you're going there via GPS, Google will tell you that it's Ladue. That's fine. You know?
Yeah.
Ladue.
That's what the locals call it.
You say tomato, I say tomato, it's fine.
I assume if you – so the co-op does have a Facebook group. So
there's a Facebook group.
Facebook?
If you Facebook St. Louis game developers, you'll find the group. And
there's an event there. That would be the best way to find it.
All right. And we will be making an appearance. I think our plan is we're just going to sort of – drive by on mopeds or scooters, quickly swipe some ribs, down them as
swipe some ribs, slap some hands.
Yeah, we got to go build them up.
Scoot by screaming, covered in sauce. Mm-hmm. I think that was our plan there.
Yes.
Then we will have a kick down event, which will be a live podcast episode that we do on Discord on Sunday, July 14, 6 p.m. CDT.
Mm-hmm.
Central time.
Should we also admit right now that we are actually re-recording right now?
we recorded the end of this episode. We recorded this episode.
Because all of Seth's dates were wrong.
I messed it all
every one of them.
All of it. I got the days of the week right, though.
Yeah, and the times.
Which I felt super good
about. It was just the actual dates were not accurate.
Right. So July 14, Sunday, 6 p.m. CDT. If the dates are still wrong, it is Sunday.
It's Sunday our time.
Our time. Yeah. Not Sunday in Australia.
Nope.
That's tomorrow. Mm-mm. Don't be going down that road.
Or yesterday.
Whenever it is, it's not now. Now is now. Come now. Uh-huh. Yep, but later on Sunday, 6 p.m., July 14. So we're going to basically just be on Discord, and I guess we're going to just like hang out, talk about the jam, talk about what we've been making.
Yeah, we'll ask some community questions and stuff too so people can chime in with their experience, and then we'll, you know, rebroadcast that with our mouthpieces in the podcast, which is going to be
we'll probably also answer questions just as they appear.
Yep. Yep. And also, if you have been in the Discord the whole time, which you will have been because you're an amazing human
where else are you going to be?
Then probably you will have also been sharing awesome stuff from your game. And there's a pretty good chance that we'll talk about some of the cool stuff that we've seen through the weekend. So that's happening July 14, 6 p.m. CDT for realsies.
Yeah. There is also another physical human event that the Game Dev Co-op is putting on for the end of the jam.
Yes.
But I'm pretty sure it overlaps, and so I don't know the details because we cannot go. Although I think Sampada may go.
Yes.
I think she
said. Sampada's going to go. Attend.
So we may have a rep.
We may have a representative. But again, we just go to the St. Louis Game of Co-op stuff on Facebook to find all that info.
And then, of course, the final submission time and date for the jam
is
Monday, July 15, 8 a.m. Central Time, CDT. So that gives you a full 72 hours to make a game in 48 hours.
Yeah,
so
you should pick 2 days. And use those 2 days.
Yeah, we wanted to give you a buffer. If you do use a full 72 hours,
that's fine.
We're going to kill you. I mean, we're going to come after you.
It's fine.
And we're going to bring the wrath down upon you.
I like how we had the exact opposite. That's fine. You're good.
So I hope you're happy with that being the last thing you ever do on this earth. Actually, we don't care. You can do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want. We're not your parents.
If you're on a roll and you just want to keep going, just keep going. Whatever.
I don't care.
So that's all we got. So have a great jam, everybody, and we will hopefully do the same. And we'll see you at the kickdown. Yeah,
what's the saying? May your jam
be swift and your game playable.
Yes.
Hell yeah, buddy.
See you on Sunday.
Goodbye.
Bye.